to the Mind Your Hormones podcast. My name's Corinne, and I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist who went from no period from mismanaged PCOS to a regular one. Now I'm obsessed with helping you get hormonally balanced and emotionally aligned. This podcast is all about education, empowerment, real talk, and simple strategies you could start today to find inner peace and overall well-being. I am so excited to be here with you to chat about all things health, hormones, and mindset. Are you ready? Let's get it. Hello, welcome back to Mind Your Hormones. I am coming to you from my iPhone today. I'm in my car. I mean, literally run my business in my car. It's insane, but I'm in my car. I'm on my iPhone. I don't have my mic set up. I don't have a video recording me set up. Like, we are just really taking messy ass action. And that is the story of my freaking life. And I encourage you to take more messy action because sometimes you just got to do the damn thing. So let me paint a little picture for you. And then we are going to get into this topic because I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to be really helpful for those of you who are currently pregnant, newly postpartum, or even trying to conceive. And this is going to help you when you are postpartum one day, because it's not an if, it's a when, right? So right now we are getting work done in our house still. If you've been listening to the podcast the last few episodes, you've heard me talk about this. And we can't be in the house with Madison because the paint smell, right? So right now I'm at my in-laws, the baby Madison, she is still a baby. But anyway, she's with my in-laws right now. Hopefully she's doing okay. I'm in my car about to record this podcast. I've got like 15 minutes before I have to get her to sleep. So that is what is going on, which is why I'm just literally doing it from my phone in my car, no mic, and it's going to be a fire episode. So again, perfection does not exist. Messy action always, done is better than perfect. Okay, let's go. So I want to talk to you about how many things, 6 things that I did that I loved postpartum that I would absolutely do again. And then we're going to talk about 4 things that I didn't do and I wish that I did do. So first, let's start with the things that I loved that I did. So number one, I guess this isn't technically postpartum, but I had an unmedicated birth and I absolutely loved it. I loved giving birth. Was it the hardest thing I ever did? 1,000,000%. Like, it was very difficult, but I would absolutely do it again. I have a whole podcast episode on my unmedicated birth and how I prepared for it and all the things, and like on the actual birth story. So we'll link that below so you can get like the details on that. But I loved doing that. I loved that I just like really got to see just how strong I am. I got to see how I prepared for it really supported me and how much it's really mind over matter, like how much your mind controls so much. And I just see that so often in my life, just in general. And it really showed me that during the unmedicated birth. And I loved that I got to feel everything and that the second she came out, the pain stopped. I remember pushing and there was like, I don't know, maybe the first or second to last push, whatever it was, hard to remember. But I remember the doctor being like, as soon as she comes out, Corinne, the pain is going to stop. Like, you're so close. As soon as she comes out, the pain is going to stop. I'm like, okay, is that true? And literally the second she came out, zero pain ever from that point on. Literally never once. Like, I didn't take Advil after, nothing. And when it was, and I was able to walk around after, and like, I wasn't like groggy and the baby wasn't groggy after from, you know, an epidural or whatever. And this is not to say like, oh, if you got an epidural or you got a C-section, like your birth isn't as good. Like, that is, it is not a competition. Literally, you birthed a human. Doesn't matter how they came into the world. It's freaking incredible. I'm just talking about my personal experience of what I really liked, and I would absolutely do that again. So that's number one. And again, you could go back and listen to the other episodes I have on that, but for sure would do that again. Second thing I would absolutely do again is encapsulate my placenta. I know that that helped me a ton with the quote unquote baby blues. I definitely had baby blues for that first week. And if you're unfamiliar with that term, it's just like, it's just like this overwhelming feeling of sadness at like a specific, for me, it was at a specific time every single day. It was like when it was about to be nighttime, when like normally I'd be cooking, getting dinner ready for Chris and I, we'd be sitting down to watch a show, eating dinner, relaxing. And like, it was around that time of day that I would all of a sudden just like start bawling my eyes out, crying and feeling like really anxious and really sad of like, because literally your life takes a 180 in seconds. Like, every single part of your life is completely different immediately. And there's like no preparing for it, right? Like, you know, it's coming, you read the books, there's no preparing for your life having that big of a change so quickly. So it's like a huge shock to the nervous system, aside from the fact that you're literally exhausted from pregnancy, from pushing the baby out, or, you know, however they came into the world, like being awake so long for birth, then nursing, if you're nursing, or even if you're not, you're still feeding them around the clock. Like, it's just so much at once. So anyway, for me, it was like probably around 4 or 5 every single day, I would feel just like, I just had to cry for like, I don't know, like an hour sometimes. Sometimes it'd be 20 minutes, whatever it was. And it was such a crazy feeling because I'm like, I'm so happy and I love her so much. But I'm also like, I miss being able to just like do whatever. And like, did I shower today? Like, it's just a very odd feeling. You know when you know. I did another podcast episode on that too. Like the first one back from maternity, I talked about this in depth. So we'll put that one in the show notes for you too. But the point is, I only experienced that. I had Madison on Monday, and then Sunday was the last day that I had like a huge cry, and then it was done. I never felt like that again. And I started my placenta encapsulation maybe 2 or 3 days after birth. I think it was about 2 days after birth. And I know that that made a huge impact in my moods, in my energy, in everything. Because a lot of people experience baby blues sometimes for, most common I've heard is like 2 weeks. Sometimes I've heard 3 weeks. And I did not experience that once I started regularly taking my placenta encapsulated placenta. And I also, know that it definitely helped with my energy too. So I love, and like the anxiety, because I was feeling like very anxious in the beginning of this was like kind of even after that a little bit, but if she wasn't like very close to me, I was like, okay, like I need her closer to me. Like, why is she across the room? Like, she needs to be on me. But it's like, you're so connected literally for 9 months. They're living inside of you. You're like one being. So when all of a sudden they're out of you and not on you, it's a very like disoriented feeling. And like, I remember we were sitting on the couch eating dinner and Madison was in her swing, like literally just like across the couch. And I was like, okay, no, like we have to put her closer to me. Like, I can't have her there. Like, I'm very anxious with her that far away. But the placenta encapsulation for sure helped ease that. So I would absolutely do that again. So for sure, look into it. Again, I have another podcast episode on, encapsulating my placenta, like the benefits and all that stuff. So you could check that out too, but I would for sure do that again. So that's number two. Number three is we did not have visitors really. So like in the hospital, because we did have an unmedicated birth in a hospital, which you absolutely can do. Again, check out the episode for more details on that. But the only people that came to the hospital were our immediate family, like our parents, our siblings, and our grandparents, which the only grandparent that was up here was my grandma at the time. Now Chris's grandma lives up here, but she wasn't at the time. So that was it. No friends, no extended family, nothing. Because I was just like, I'm not comfortable with everybody holding the baby. I also like, just like germ wise, like we did not feel good about that. And in the beginning for us, it was like, I just wanted to be in like our cocoon of just the three of us and like really figuring out like how this was going to work, what our roles were, like learning the baby. Like you're getting to know each other, right? Like you're getting to know the baby. The baby's getting to know you. So I think it's so important for that. And again, if you want to do things differently, awesome. Like have a million visitors if you want. I'm just saying like what I really liked and what I would do again, to show my perspective. I really like that we did not have a ton of visitors at the hospital. And also we were only at the hospital one day, but when we came home, we did not have a ton of visitors. Our parents were the only ones that came random. Like it wasn't like they came every day, for a few weeks. Like we didn't have extended family or friends or whatever come for, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after. I guess it's so hard, like timing. It's like, what is time? It's such a weird thing. Like, especially that time you're so sleep deprived, like you don't even know what day it is. But it was for a good amount of time that nobody else came. And I really liked that because it gave us time to like become a family unit, to really learn the baby, to not feel like you are, have to be on. Like, I just wanted to just like sleep when I could, and which really was never, but like, you know, it was just, I really liked doing that. And what we did, like my mom and Chris's mom, my mother-in-law, told our extended family, like, hey, like they're not doing visitors at the hospital or anything. So like, she'll let you know when, you know, you could come see the baby. So like they let their siblings know. So I didn't have to like call everybody up. But I was pretty much just like, I'll let you know when you guys could come see her. Like not right now. And really holding that boundary was just like another also like first time being like a mom of like holding the boundary of like, this is what's best for me and my baby. And it's what we're doing. Like you could feel however you want about it. Like, oh, but I want to come see her when she's so tiny. Like that's cool. Like I get it. She's so fucking cute. I know why you want to come see her, but that's not what I want. And I'm the mom. So like, that's just what's going to be happening. So like, it was really just us holding that boundary and feeling really good about it. And it was so nice. And Chris was off for 3 weeks. So we were able to just like do what we wanted to do. We went for walks together, like, which is another thing that I loved doing, but really holding that boundary was key for us. And I really liked that. And I definitely will be doing that again. Which led me into the next one of going for walks as a family together every night. And this was helpful. Like, cause Chris knew like around the time that I would like start crying every night, and getting outside around that time was really, really helpful. So what we did was we went for walks every night. It wasn't really night. It was summer. So it was like light out. Maybe around like 4 or 5 o'clock, we went for a walk together. And it was just like really nice to get out of the house, because you're like just stuck in the house for, you know, that's all you're doing. You're just like in the house, in your bed, whatever. So I really liked doing that. I would probably do shorter walks in the beginning, because like with healing and all of that, you're really like, it's, there's like the 5-5-5 rule, like 5 days in bed, 5 days around the bed, 5 days, like in the house, of just like, you're really not supposed to do much like walking and too much movement right after postpartum, because things are moving, everything's going back into place. So I maybe would do shorter walks. But anyway, I did love getting outside, just even in general, just getting outside every day. And it was, we were able to do that with the weather, and it was June. So that was helpful. But that was something that I really loved doing. And it was just something we could look forward to, do as a family, and like feel a little humanish, like getting outside for a little bit. So that was amazing. And then the fifth thing that I loved, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, I'm doing 6 things that I loved. The fifth thing that I loved and would absolutely do again is nursing on demand, which I still do. Never once put her on any form of a schedule at all for feeding in the beginning. We're really still not really on one, a little bit now, just because like she's in a more of a nap schedule. But that I absolutely loved, because it was hard AF, like so hard. It was pretty much like every hour and a half in the beginning, which really means like you're awake every 45 minutes, because by the time, you know, they're done feeding and you change them and you get them back down, they're waking up 45 minutes later to eat again. So it was extremely challenging, but I would absolutely do it again. And we didn't do any bottles till 4 weeks. And the reason why I loved that was, first of all, it was a great bonding experience for the two of us, but also it really helped with the milk supply. So a lot of people struggle with milk supply, and they're like, oh my God, how can I increase my milk supply? It's like, what foods? And of course, yes, supplementation. Like, Chorus took my needed prenatals throughout the entire time, still taking them. I'm also trying out Gut Personals prenatal, which I really like too. I'll do like a whole nother episode on that. But anyway, like, yes, that helps. Water, foods, like, of course. But what really helps with having good milk supply, which I learned in boob school, which if you are someone who wants to nurse, you're currently pregnant or you're postpartum even, and you're struggling with nursing, like, I cannot recommend boob school enough. It is with the Balanced Boob. Kelly Kendall is her name. I had her on the podcast. It was probably the best money I invested in, you know, before having Madison. And it like literally, I'm still breastfeeding right now. We're almost 10 months postpartum. I have not even knock on wood, because it's not just like by chance, never had an issue with milk supply. Like, it's, she latched. I've never had bleeding nipples, except now when sometimes she bites it with her teeth. But aside from that, never had bleeding nipples. I never had pain latching, except, you know, that first day and stuff when you're learning to have them latch. But like, it was the best thing I ever did. You could use code Corinne, Corinne, to get a discount on Boob School. We'll put the link below. But anyway, nursing on demand, and the more that she nursed, like even when she just was wanting to soothe, I would put her on the boob. The more of that sucking that was happening, the more that's cueing your body to produce more milk. And that helps your long-term milk supply, not just in the moment. So I would absolutely do that again. It was very difficult, but it's so worth it long-term. So I would really do that again. And we didn't do any bottles till 4 weeks. We only did one a day for a little bit. Now we don't even do one a day. We do one like every few days, because like now there's no nipple confusion or anything. Like, she'll take the bottle if she needs to, but we're really still only doing it when, like, if I have a call or something and I know she's going to be hungry, like, I'll leave a bottle for Chris. But otherwise, like, we still nurse on demand. She's obviously eating solids and stuff now too. But that for sure I loved doing and would absolutely do again. And then the last thing is baby wearing. I freaking love baby wearing. I still do it from time to time now. Like, I just ordered a new carrier for like walking on the beach and stuff with her. But in the beginning, I wore her all the time, literally all the time, in my Solly baby wrap cannot recommend the Solly Baby Wrap enough. I also have a free download, by the way, now I'm thinking about it. We'll put this in the show notes too, of everything that's on my baby registry. And I went through and I like audited it after I was a few months postpartum, because there was some stuff on there that like I did not use. There were things I wanted to add. The Solly Baby Wrap is on there. And like, please let me tell you, that is freaking incredible. I mean, if you like wraps, and it was difficult to learn how to do at first, but like once you got the hang of it, it was my absolute favorite thing. I wore her all the time when I was cooking, when I was cleaning, when I was podcasting in the beginning, when, especially when we went places where there were other people and I don't want her being passed around like a football when she was so little, I would just wear her in. So like, that was it. She was just in on my chest. No one was holding her. So she would fall asleep. Like I loved it. I personally didn't like moving her from like infancy to infancy. And like, of course she did her tummy time and did all of that. But like, I preferred her being on me. So I loved baby wearing and I miss having her on me all the time like that. It's just like the best feeling. So I really liked doing that. It was a great bonding experience. They want it, like they literally don't even understand that when they're first born, and for months after being born, they don't even understand that their body is separate from you. Like you're literally their home. So it's just like, and it helps regulate you as well. Like, yes, it helps regulate them, but it also, and it's like if she was ever upset or crying, whatever, I would wear her and it would like help immediately. But it also helps regulate you, because like you are obviously dysregulated in the beginning. So many things are changing. Your hormones are changing. Like your life is completely different. You're used to having them inside of you with you 24/7. And like wearing her and having her on me really just helped me stay regulated. And I loved doing that. So that I absolutely loved. Now, four things that I did not do that I will do next time. Number one, I would have started co-sleeping immediately. We are still co-sleeping here and there. Like she's in her crib most of the night, but she will still come in if she wakes up at like 1 a.m. or whatever, like which she still does wake up a few times. I bring her back into bed with me now. But anyway, I would have started co-sleeping immediately. We started co-sleeping probably around like 4 weeks, I think it was. I wanted to from the get-go, but I was scared. It was like people said, oh, you're not allowed to do that. It's not safe. Da-da-da. Like all the societal norms that were a part of it were like in my head. But I just wanted her with me. I hated the bassinet. I could not sleep because I couldn't see her. She hated it. Like it was just not for us. So I would start co-sleeping ASAP. So that's like one thing I wish that I did. And I do have another episode on co-sleeping too that you could listen to, but I wish I did that immediately. I absolutely loved doing it. And now to the point where she's a little bit older, she's sleeping a little bit better in her crib. So she's staying in there longer. We're like kind of in that transition phase, which is like a little bit sad, but I absolutely loved doing that. And I would do it right away instead of just like waiting and not trusting my intuition on that. I would start that immediately. The other thing that I would do right away, this is actually during pregnancy. I would have seen a pelvic floor physical therapist, during pregnancy, because like I was like doing Pilates and doing all this stuff during pregnancy, which was really, of course, helpful, but I still experienced some things, like even still now, like I'm not fully healed. I still have some diastasis that's going on. Like there's just things that I wish, like I, next time around, like I for sure will be going to a pelvic floor physical therapist throughout pregnancy to really support and strengthen that. Cause like you and me, like I had a vaginal birth, like you're literally pushing with all your might. Like obviously things are going to go on. You also were pregnant. Every single person who is pregnant is going to experience diastasis, which if you don't know what that is, that's when your abs literally separate. Of course it's going to happen. Where else is the baby going to go? But there are things that I wish I did, you know, going to a pelvic floor physical therapist is something I really wish I did during pregnancy to help support the process, and healing more quickly and efficiently postpartum. So I definitely recommend doing that. And I'm for sure going to be doing that next time around. So definitely look up a pelvic floor physical therapist in your area. There's even people online and stuff that do like virtual assessments, but like doing one in person, I think is important because they could do internal exams and things like that. So definitely look that up. I would for sure recommend that. I even have my clients right now that are in the Trying to Conceive Accelerator. One of them was experiencing like when she would like jump during CrossFit, she would like pee her pants a little bit and she would have like some pain like during sex. And there were just like things that were like signs that like thing her pelvic floor was really tight. And I'm like, get that shit taken care of now before you get pregnant. And she is. So it's even if you, I would go even before pregnancy to just like see what's going on with your pelvic floor. Cause it's like, it takes a big toll when you are pregnant. So that's for sure what I'd recommend. The other thing that I would do and kind of along with that is I would move my body ASAP, like, and I recommend a program. So like a few postpartum programs that I've seen that are really good. The Bell Method has a great one. Pilates Strong Mom, Dee Osborne, she was on the podcast. She has a great one. Fittest Core, I saw hers. Hers looks good. Maddie Miles looks good. Hers as well. I'm trying like all different ones now, even 10 months postpartum. But anyway, I would have done things like right away, like certain breathing techniques, certain movements that you could do very quickly after being, you know, giving birth. Obviously, it depends if you did vaginal or C-section, but the quicker you do things like that, the quicker that diastasis gets healed, the quicker everything is moving back in the right places, the quicker you're going to, you know, support your pelvic floor health, reduce prolapse, all of these things. And I did not do that. I did walks and stuff, but we were in the process of packing and selling our home, of moving into our new home and renovating our new home. And it was just like really difficult and really challenging on top of having a brand new baby. So like we closed on our new house when Madison was four or 5 weeks old, and then renovated it for 6 weeks and then moved into it. So it was like really hectic time. And so I just did not prioritize moving my body in that way and following a program. And I wish I did that because I would be more healed than I am now. Like I know the diastasis I have now would be completely gone. Like just like healing your body is always like get ahead of it, right? Like prevention always rather than reaction. So I would have just done that immediately. So like investing in one of those programs, doing it ASAP, obviously it's going to be difficult, but like what's good about it is these programs are like 15 minutes. Like you, cause you sometimes, and there are going to be days you don't have those 15 minutes. Like that's just the truth of it. But I really do wish I did those certain types of movements more quickly, after giving birth. And the last one is I wish I made more freezer meals. So I definitely did freeze some stuff for us. And like my mom was like cooking some meals for us, but I wish that I like made a ton of soups and froze them. Because it's also really, beneficial to have a lot of warming foods the first 40 days postpartum to help with healing. It's like a Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine practice of like having warming foods when you're trying to conceive in your first trimester and also the first 40 days postpartum for like healing and warming up the womb and like helping with blood flow and like all the blood that you lose during, you know, when you just give birth and all of that. So I wish I froze more meals that I could just easily have had, because obviously it helps with, you know, the no time that you have. And it would have just been like, I just want to do more of that. We did some of it, but I definitely want to do more of that because cooking was difficult in the beginning. Like I just wore her, so it was fine, but it was just like, fuck, I wish I had stuff that was already made, you know? So those are the things that I would definitely do, like want to do better for next time around and what I would recommend doing if you're in that space. So I hope this was helpful for you. Please reach out and let me know how this supported you. All the episodes we talked about would be linked in the show notes. Obviously, the boob school link will be in the show notes. The baby registry will be in the show notes that I talked about. I also talked about the needed prenatal and the gut personal prenatal. Both of those will be in the show notes. And if you are in this stage right now, like whether you are currently pregnant, you're trying to conceive, you are newly postpartum, like I hope this just really supported you and giving you some tips of like what you could think about might be best for you moving forward. And like take what makes sense and leave what doesn't. That's always the vibe. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. I love this community so much. I appreciate you and your support, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode and learned something valuable, please share it with a friend who you think would also love it, or post it on social media and tag me so I could personally say thank you for helping me spread this important message. I am beyond grateful to be here with you. So until next time, stay intentional, stay consistent, and always mind your hormones.